Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. President Salva Kiir makes a big announcement at the Peace Party in Juba.
And in this occasion, I want to announce before you that we have two people whom I'm releasing now. One of them is called James Gadet. Although we know he was condemned in court.
And Riek Machar sets foot in Juba for the first time in over 2 years.
President Kiir invited us, all of us in the opposition, so that we can come and celebrate with you here in Juba. We first said the agreement said we will be going to Juba after 8 months.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir has pardoned two prisoners of war who were sentenced to death this year. Mr. Kiir made the announcement today at the peace celebrations in Juba. James Gadet is Riek Machar's spokesman who was arrested and deported from Kenya in 2016. Gadet received a death sentence. Kiir said he would also free a former South African colonel, John Endley, who was Machar's security advisor and received a death sentence on charges of spying on South Sudan.
We're still working with the agencies to find out if there are still more prisoners of war to be released. And in this occasion, I want to announce before you that we have two people whom I'm releasing now. One of them is called James Gadet. Although we know he was condemned in court, Akamu Belaidam, as of Benu activities without Khan Biamulu, Akamu Bilmakama in Belaidam, Lekin and Woga Belkakulu, Mana Fanta and Zekans.
The president also ordered all security operatives to allow humanitarian agencies to operate freely in South Sudan. He says ordinary South Sudanese should also be allowed to move freely. The leader of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, Riek Machar, traveled from Khartoum with 50 members of his party to attend the celebration.
President Kiir invited us, all of us in the opposition, so that we can come and celebrate with you here in Juba. We first said the agreement said we will be going to Juba after 8 months. But if there's a celebration like this, who will not attend?
The rebel leader says his group is serious about the September 12 peace deal. He says his presence in Juba is a sign that he wants peace.
Why are we here today? If we come after 8 months, some of you will say we don't want peace. We want peace. Our heart is on peace like you. As I can see, some of you are dancing, and they are not even caring about what I am saying.
Machar insisted that his party will implement the peace deal and will end violence across South Sudan.
We want to prove to you that we have a strong political commitment to restore our country. If there is someone who has not attended this celebration, go and tell them that you have seen it with your own eyes.
Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir told the South Sudanese that Sudan will continue to help the leaders in South Sudan to implement the peace agreement. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni also addressed dignitaries at the celebrations. He cautioned South Sudanese leaders against using violence to solve their problems.
I'm very happy to be here to join you in celebrating peace, which we signed in Khartoum the other day.
Ugandan leader has been involved in South Sudan conflict. In 2013, he sent Ugandan troops to help South Sudan army fight Machar's forces. Museveni applauded South Sudanese leaders for ending the violence.
We have won ceremonies of peace, and African ceremonies are very, very serious. There's what we call...
He said the conflict has affected development in South Sudan, and it's time to talk peace. Several South Sudanese opposition leaders attended the celebration. The leader of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, Gabriel Changson, warned President Kiir to be serious this time around.
You have been speaking loud and clear that you are standing with the people of South Sudan. If that is true, then you stand with the people of South Sudan by supporting this agreement. Because this agreement will end their suffering. And not only that, there is a lot of money being spent on the humanitarian services in South Sudan, on IDPs, on refugees. That money can be cut into half or even more than half if you support the peace process.
Changson urged South Sudanese to monitor the peace agreement and report any violations. He says South Sudanese have a role to play.
For the people of South Sudan, you those who are standing here, you have a very important role. If you don't know it, you play it. What is it? You have demonstrated to us that you are for peace. Make peace marches all over the country. Reconcile among yourselves and close the chapter, that dark chapter we are passed through. It is you to do it. You also challenge us as your leaders, as your political leaders. If we are going astray, tell us enough is enough. You have the power.
Leaders from Somalia, Rwanda, Kenya, Ethiopia, Egypt, Morocco, and Djibouti attended today's ceremony in Juba. A senior church leader in South Sudan is calling the country's leaders to be serious this time around. The head of the Catholic Bishops' Conference, Bishop Edward Hiboro, says the people of South Sudan deserve peace and stability. He says South Sudanese should now use the language of peace as they interact with one another.
My take on this celebration is, first of all, I must say, is positive. Because someone who is always optimistic, anything that is done in the name of peace, anything done with the interests of peace and language is peace, is, I think, much more good for any South Sudanese. The celebration, number one, is that it is creating the atmosphere of peace. And everybody is talking about celebration of peace. And it is, in a way, it deters any one of us to go back and think about war. And so it has to be the language that has to continue now, talking about peace and encouraging everyone to go on board for peace. Number two is that when an agreement is signed, usually it is necessary to take it back to the people and involve the civilians, they involve the ordinary people in it. So for me, I think the signing of peace agreement that was done on the 12th in Khartoum and Addis Ababa is now being brought back to South Sudan. And it is to say to people, yes, what we did outside is true. And here we are now announcing to you, to every South Sudanese, that we have signed peace. The second thing is that now from this level where they now come to celebrate and hand it to the people, then the responsibility is with them, with the government and the opposition, those who signed this document, to begin to be serious, as they have actually been now serious coming together to celebrate, but to make sure that the implementation is convincing the people. It shouldn't end up only in the public or the media and dancing. No, the real peace people are waiting for is to see that those things that indicate signs of war, the violations, the shooting, the killing, the displacement, the bad language, the lack of services, these are things that the immediate responsibility now the government and opposition have to show that we really mean peace. It's not ending in the public ground celebration.
Yeah, Bishop Edward, this is not the first time these groups are signing a peace agreement. They signed it in 2015 and did not stick to the terms of that agreement. What is new in this agreement that convinces you that these parties will be serious this time around?
What is convincing me is, like, I feel these are human beings. A human being, when you make a mistake, you have got to repair it. You have to be serious. So my thinking is that these people, they have heard quite a lot. Even this voice that they have done it before, Riyad came back, and then they again start fighting. And so my thinking is that they are aware of the frustrations of the people of South Sudan with them. They are aware of the frustration of the world with them. They are aware that actually the country is going nowhere if they continue fighting. So it's just a kind of conviction on the level of humanity, somebody who is very serious, somebody who loves his country, somebody who actually is there for the good of the nation, will definitely now hold this peace. So this is the level on which I'm convinced. But the conviction will continue to enlarge after this celebration. We want to see something very serious. And not only celebrating, because the people in the camp have not been able to come for that celebration. Even in the neighboring towns of Juba, they are not able to come because the roads are not yet fully open.
You are the bishop of Yambio Tombura, and I'm sure your trip here, you must have come right from the field, right from your base. How is life in your diocese? Describe to us how people are living in your diocese.
Yeah, the life in my diocese is still, of course, the impact of the war is still there. We still have the impact of the war because the different villages that were disturbed, peace has been signed, but yet still people still live with some fear because there are still guys in the bush with guns. And then there's not that proper relationship yet between the government soldiers and the rebels. And so this presence of the man with the gun is still in the bush is not yet a positive sign, of course. People are waiting to see that these guys are taken from those areas, are located somewhere, and then it will be a first sign of peace. The second thing is that services are still a problem.
If the bishops of South Sudan, the Catholic bishops of South Sudan, have a message for President Kiir today and Riek Machar, what would that message be?
Our message for President Salva Kiir is we need peace and a true peace, that what has been signed has to be respected, and no, we need no more war. And he has to be serious and respect and what is being celebrated by making sure that this peace agreement is implemented. It is the same to Riek Machar, that he has to abide by what has been signed. God holds him accountable to make sure that the human beings who live in South Sudan must live in peace. So I'm asking them to let the past go. Can they not be historical and say, look, we fought, the people died, now we have become friends in order that South Sudan gets peace. And I'm here in Canada, the language I hear, you know, how people talk about us, it's just too much.
That's Bishop Ihiboro, the president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Sudan and South Sudan, and the bishop of Yambio Tomboro Diocese. He was speaking with me from Ontario, Canada, earlier today. Thousands of jubilant South Sudanese who gathered at the John Garang Mausoleum for the peace celebration say today's event gives them some glimpse of hope that peace appears to be returning to the country after 5 years of brutal conflict. Although President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar were all smiling on the stage, the residents say they expect a little more from the two leaders, but advise both of them to fully implement the signed peace deal. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
Dancing in traditional dances, jubilant South Sudanese say they hope today symbolizes the end to the devastating experiences of war for South Sudanese women and children have gone through. Reverend Abraham Nyeri is with the Episcopal Church of Juba and came to hear the speeches.
We as the church people, we are praying for peace, and we have seen the sign of peace as we are praying for our leaders, especially the president and all his cabinet, to bring peace in South Sudan. That's why as today, this is a joyful day. And we as the church, we pray that God will cement this peace in the heart of all the South Sudanese people.
Member of Parliament Beatrice Abeh says both Kiir and Machar must keep their promises to end the war once and for all.
Let them not break what they put together. Remember, they were all in the bush. They fought a prolonged war to bring this country to what it is. And it should not be them to tear it apart.
Abe says she is skeptical about the progress being made in forming the transitional government of national unity.
As you can see, the country is already economically unstable. If I can say many months without salaries, people have gone many months without salaries. It will take a while for this country to stabilize, and it will take a while and a longer while for this country to gain. Remember, we are now having a small government, but from April, we'll have a more bigger government than this, than what we have now. The resources will all go towards maintaining the bigger government, and I don't know how much will go to the citizens.
Dusman Joyce, chairwoman of the Women's Caucus in the National Parliament, says the leaders must show really commitment to ending the war.
After this celebration today, in few months, we need to see that there is a development, there is a free movement of people, there is free movement of humanitarian assistance and first aids to our local people in the villages. We need to see into it that our women from the refugees camps, they have come back, and all the people from refugees camps, they have come up, and people have been given a free freedom of speech, freedom of movement, to give into all people to see into it that really this peace is signed in spirit and letter.
The peace celebration team is celebrating the dawn of peace, appreciating friends, cherishing reconciliation and unity. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, ICR says it is seeing progress in South Sudan. That story is coming after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you wrote a story of your life, how would it begin?
This is my story. Through my life, I've been through ups and downs.
I will begin from my childhood, how I was a child, and then how I progressed to become an adult, and especially during my school times. There are so many things I can recall.
I think I would begin with the words like, God is good, because I've achieved in life, because God made me to achieve.
Humble. My beginning has been humble, and to be where I am today is just a grace of God.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. As South Sudanese celebrate peace today, the International Rescue Committee warns 69% of the population is facing acute food insecurity. IRC Country Director Martin Mkuba is calling on all parties to respect the cessation of hostilities and help farmers to grow more food for the country.
We've gone through a lot in South Sudan here. We've seen people being killed because of the war. And I feel really excited and optimistic. I really hope, and everyone's prayer, that this peace will hold on.
And the IRC is moving with caution in South Sudan today. I see that there's a press release put out warning that there is ongoing high levels of hunger in the country.
Yeah, there was a survey that was done and released a couple of weeks ago that still showed that many of the populations, especially in the areas where there was heavy fighting in the opposition areas, are still having short food. They cannot be able to access food. The numbers that we know right now is that roughly 69% of the population is food insecure. It's because the population in the Western Equatoria that was displaced to Uganda, many people have not been able to cultivate land, and that contributes to food insecurity.
Martin, some in South Sudan have said that it is absolutely appropriate to have these celebrations. It's to mark a very important day in South Sudan and to usher in peace. And others have said that it's not appropriate to spend so much money while people in South Sudan are going hungry. Where do you stand on that, on those two arguments?
I think it all depends on how much is spent on celebrations vis-a-vis what is it that can be put in terms of saving the lives of people. Definitely from a moral standpoint, we shouldn't be celebrating if people are starving. But at the same time, for us to be, for the country to show that peace is here, it's also important that the celebrations are held as a symbolic gesture that everybody is putting down arms and people are starting to talk to each other. Because I believe that with peace, then other issues of famine and food insecurity will be addressed because the humanitarian aid will be able to reach the people who mostly need it without any challenges of access.
I see that the press release says that there are some in South Sudan who are on the brink of famine. Now, obviously, famine is not declared often, but I see it come up regularly in press releases, not just with the IRC, but with other organizations as well. Could you explain how bad the situation is? Are we really on the brink of famine?
The current situation is that, as I said, many people are not having adequate access to food. But if all efforts are geared towards making sure that food is provided, that there is regular airdrops in the areas which are highly affected, that resources are pulled behind to make sure that the essential food commodities are able to be taken to these populations, then I don't see why we should not avert a famine. So to me, it's about resources. If resources are availed at this right moment, then we are able to make sure that the people who are really food insecure can be able to access it. Because it's not all the whole of South Sudan that people are having food insecurity. It's specifically in the few pockets of places where there was heavy fighting and people got displaced and they were unable to really cultivate their land.
That was Martin Mkubwa, IRC South Sudan Country Director, speaking with Ayin Deng Bior from Juba. Being an investigative journalist in Africa, where leaders and governments have been known to threaten journalists and arrest, kidnap, and even kill them, has never been easy. But troublemaking hacks across the continent say they are worried about a threat far beyond their borders. The hostile words of global leaders, they say, threaten their important work. VOA's Anita Paul reports from Johannesburg.
Anonymous threats. Police harassment. Hostile officials, the constant hovering cloud of self-censorship, social exclusion, and forced exile. And to top it all off, low pay. Welcome to the life of a typical African investigative journalist.
There's a tale of repression, assassination, harassment, jailing. It's pretty rough out there.
South African journalism professor Anton Harbour is an organizer of an annual conference that brings hundreds of African investigative journalists to Johannesburg to talk shop and make connections. The journalists have uncovered corruption, human rights abuses, gang warfare, drug and wildlife crimes, and other unsavory dealings. Even among this hardcore crowd, Munugeti stands out. She is a journalist in what is possibly the world's toughest dateline, Mogadishu, Somalia's unstable capital. She writes about female genital mutilation, the seizure and resale of international food aid, and the relentless conflict between militant groups, the government, and Somali clans. Getty says she often gets threats, many of them anonymous.
I think the investigation journalist, as in the world, is always risk. Especially in Somalia, it is the risk area. So when you work in Somalia for the investigation journalists, it's not easy.
Reporters Without Borders says Somalia is the deadliest country for reporters in sub-Saharan Africa. Two journalists have been killed in connection with their work this year. Another four were killed in 2017. In Tanzania, the Committee to Protect Journalists says the government has in the past 3 years implemented harsh legislation and harassed journalists and bloggers. Newspaper journalist Kelvin Matandiko says he feels that every day.
It's a shock to different journalists who were experienced to work in free areas like Tanzania. But the currently political regimes has become with new changes. And I don't know what is the reason behind, but what we believe that this is going to kill our media industry.
It all comes down, says publisher Dapo Olorunyomi, to integrity. In his notoriously corrupt country, Nigeria, he says sometimes that means shining a light on the threats that come from within journalism itself. He pointed to VOA's recent move to terminate 15 House of Service employees after an investigation found they had accepted improper payments from a Nigerian official.
No, Nigerians are really very upset about that, I must let you know. Especially those who are doing their job daily, trying to hold public officials accountable in Nigeria. That's a difficult job in itself, not to add this kind of embarrassing situation to it. So we're genuinely upset about it, but I think the VOA management has also done what it must do. That's the right thing to do.
Harbour said one of the most worrying threats to journalism lies far beyond Africa's borders. President Donald Trump has described what he called the fake news media as the true enemy of the people. American and international media houses have refuted his words, but Harbour says they still resonate globally.
There's no question that dictators or potential dictators here cite things being said in places like Washington to support the view that things need to be done about the media and the way they behave.
Gedi Matandiko and Olorunyomi laughed out loud when VOA asked them why they like such difficult work. But then each gave some version of the same answer. Because, they said, people deserve the truth. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
And that's the end of our show for this Wednesday, when I leave you with the song Utukuzwe by Solomon Mkubwa.
Hallelujah. Ndugu yangu, Biblia inasema waabudio halisi watamwabudu Bwana katika roho na kweli. Na ni wakati huu, ukiwa ndani ya gari lako, ukiwa ndani ya basi unasafiri, ukiwa unafanya kazi ndani ya ofisi yako, jiunge pamoja nami, tumwinue Bwana, tumwambie wastahili, uko mwenye nguvu. Ikiwa uliamka asubuhi haukumwambia kitu Mungu, ni wakati wa kumwambia Bwana utukuzwe, uinuliwe. Tujiunge pamoja kwa wakati huu, tumwambie Bwana wastahili. Ikiwa unakuwa kwenye maombi ya kufunga na kuomba, ebu tujiunge pamoja. Twende, hallelujah.
Mungu wetu mwenye nguvu ni Baba wa milele.
Mungu wetu mwenye nguvu, Baba wa milele.
Hey, ni mwenye nguvu, Ebeneza, Baba wa milele.
Mungu wetu mwenye nguvu,
Baba
wa milele.
We've been listening to Solomon Mkubwa with that song Utukuzwe. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Neema yako, fazili zako pia, asubuhi ni mpya tena.
zanifariji moyo niamkapo baba
neema yako fasili zako.